If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great-tasting, high-quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today's show features Seth's conversation with New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, who also takes a few more questions backstage at Studio 8G exclusively for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
Amid the bombshell revelations about Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with Russians, the president's approval rating has hit a record low. And in their desperation, Trump and his allies are resorting to increasingly absurd excuses for their behavior. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. The unraveling of Trump's White House has been a drag on his popularity, but he isn't just embarrassing himself at home, he's embarrassing himself abroad, too. Trump, famous for his ability to ruin any handshake, took it to a new level during a brief trip to France on Friday with a bizarre three-way handshake with the President and First Lady of France. Watch how long this handshake is, and while you do, I am gonna read a book. Peace. That handshake was like watching a bunch of virgins at an orgy. Okay, I guess I'll put this here, and then you grab that over there, and I have no idea where this goes. But things aren't all bad for Trump. Today, he indulged in one of his favorite pastimes, pretending to drive big trucks, when he climbed into the driver's seat of a fire truck during an event outside the White House.
Where's the fire? Put it out fast.
Look how happy he is. Trump treats driving a truck the same way he treats being president. He just wants to make believe. He doesn't actually want to do the job. If Trump was actually a firefighter, he'd show up to a burning building, shout fake news, and head to the nearest driving range. Also, if you look into the side view mirror of the fire truck, you can see Sean Spicer taking Trump's photo while Trump sits in the front seat. Sean Spicer, at this point, Sean Spicer is just an exhausted dad trying to keep up with his frenetic toddler. Okay, buddy, now just sit still for a sec. Let's get this for Mom, and then I promise you can have a cookie afterwards. And Trump's day of pretending to do jobs other than president didn't stop there, because during a Made in America event at the White House, he tried on a cowboy hat and posed for the cameras. First, he pretends to be a firefighter, and then he dresses up as a cowboy. Is Trump trying to be all of the village people before the end of his term? Now, with the darkening cloud of the Russia investigation hanging over his White House, Trump has tried to jumpstart a few of the signature items on his agenda, like, for example, the border wall. As the Trump Jr. story was unfolding last week, Trump spoke to reporters on Air Force One and insisted the wall would get done, although it doesn't exactly sound like the wall Trump originally promised his supporters, because now he's saying the wall might literally be see-through, telling reporters last week, one of the things with the wall is you need transparency. You have to be able to see through it. You have to have openings because you have to see what's on the other side of the wall. As horrible as it sounds, when they throw the large sacks of drugs over, and if you have people on the other side of the wall, you don't see them, they hit you on the head with 60 pounds of stuff. It's over. As crazy as that sounds, you need transparency through that wall. So wait a minute. Trump thinks drug dealers are gonna walk up to the border wall with a 60-pound bag of drugs and then chuck it over to another drug dealer? It's official. Donald Trump thinks in cartoons. He probably wouldn't know a bank robbery was happening if the robber wasn't tiptoeing and carrying a bag with a dollar sign on it. I always know when I have a good idea because the light bulb appears in my head bubble. Meanwhile, the Russia scandals engulfed the White House after last week's bombshell revelation that Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., met with a woman described as a Russian government attorney, promising dirt on Hillary Clinton as part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump. One Trump ally called it a Category 5 hurricane, and a White House official said, "This is some of all fear stuff. It's what we've all been dreading." Maybe you've been dreading it, but the rest of us have been waiting for it like the new season of Game of Thrones. And one way you can really tell it was a Category 5 hurricane is that Don Jr. kept lying and changing his stories as detail about the meeting slowly emerged over the course of several days. First, he said it had nothing to do with the campaign. It was just a short introductory meeting about the adoption of Russian children. The next day, he admitted the lawyer promised dirt on Hillary, but said her statements were vague, ambiguous, and made no sense. The day after that, he said the meeting was normal opposition research and went nowhere but had to listen. And then finally, after releasing all the emails, he insisted the meeting was fine because it occurred before the current Russian fever was in vogue. Okay, first of all, in vogue? It's a criminal conspiracy to meddle in election, not a romp him. Ah, take it down! Take it down. Second, he changed his story four times in 4 days. That's like if your wife asked, where were you last night? And you said, I was at work. I mean, I was working at a coworker's house, at a friend's house, at a female friend's house, in a female friend's bed. But nothing came of it. So Don Jr. changed his story repeatedly. But when he went on Fox News last week to try and clear the air, he insisted that he was being forthright about the meeting and nothing else would come out.
As far as this incident is concerned, this is all of it.
This is everything. This is everything.
Great. So he may have changed his story four times in 4 days, but now everything's out there and there are no more undisclosed details. Got it? This has been a closer what?
We begin with breaking news surrounding a secret meeting last summer between Trump campaign officials and a Russian lawyer.
We have to revisit the number of people thought to be at that Donald Trump Jr. meeting with a Russian lawyer because that number has changed again.
Brand new today, a Russian-American lobbyist who served as in a spy unit of the Soviet military. He was there, too. Nobody mentioned that.
You know, at this rate, I wouldn't be surprised if we found out that Putin himself was at this meeting. Now that I think about it, I did see a guy on a horse peeking out from behind the whiteboard. At this point, the only member of the Trump team who I'm sure didn't meet with the Russians was Eric. Jared, meet with the Russian ambassador. Don Jr., talk to the Russian lawyer. And Eric, get back under the stairs. Father, no! I want to collude, Father! So now, because of these changing stories and constant lies, lawmakers are preparing to escalate the Russian investigation to begin exploring potential lawbreaking and interview the participants under oath to prevent them from changing their stories again, as Senator Sheldon Whitehouse explained.
If there's been a legal violation here, and this is very strong indications that there has, then you're dealing with things like indictments and the House potentially beginning impeachment proceedings and people having to start talking under oath instead of just, you know, talking out into the airwaves where they lie as easily as they breathe.
I don't think Trump lies as easily as he breathes. I think lying is his breathing. Inhale oxygen.
Exhale, 1.5 million people came to my inauguration.
Trump lies like a whale coming up for air.
I'm like a smart person.
So now, So now, with the stakes getting higher, the attempted explanations coming from Trump's team for Don Jr.'s meeting with the Russians are once again changing and getting increasingly ridiculous. Remember, Trump and his team argued for months that there was absolutely no contact, let alone collusion, with Russian agents. But now that the Don Jr. email is out, they've shifted to a new story that if there was collusion, it was totally fine. In fact, today, Trump himself tweeted most politicians would have gone to a meeting like the one Don Jr. attended in order to get info on an opponent. That's politics. No, it's not. Politics is running attack ads and kissing babies and going down on a corn dog at the Iowa State Fair. Rick Perry, everybody. Just because something is political doesn't mean it's just politics. If John Wilkes Booth had shot Lincoln and then went, hey, that's politics, they still would have arrested him. But Trump might be getting his cues from his allies on Fox News, who have spent the last few days making a similar argument. Like one of Trump's favorite hosts, Jeanine Pirro, who said this on Saturday.
As someone who's run for office 5 times, if the devil called me and said he wanted to set up a meeting to give me opposition research on my opponent, I'd be on the first trolley to hell to get it.
Why do Trump supporters go out of their way to make themselves sound as nefarious as possible? I wasn't looking for dirt on my opponent, but when Lord Lucifer called, I happily traded him my soul and my human voice for the one he gave me now. But one of the most absurd excuses came from a member of Trump's legal team, Jay Sekulow, who went on the Sunday shows yesterday and argued that it was actually the Secret Service's fault for letting the Russians into Trump Tower in the first place.
Well, I've wondered why the Secret Service, if this was nefarious, why did the Secret Service allow these people in? The president had Secret Service protection at that point. That raised a question with me.
Yes, I was speeding, officer, but maybe ask Toyota why they sold me a car that goes 90 miles per hour. Also, as the Secret Service itself pointed out yesterday, Donald Trump Jr. was not under Secret Service protection in June 2016. Only Trump himself had that protection, and his team claims Trump didn't know about the meeting. So wait, did Trump's own lawyer just accidentally admit that Trump did know about the meeting by implying that the Secret Service would have vetted it? I'd say that's not possible, but it's important to remember the golden rule of the Trump era. Nothing is too stupid to be true. The Trump team is going to start putting that on inspirational posters. So the Trump team has tried blaming it on Secret Service and claiming it's just normal politics. And if those arguments sound unconvincing to you, that may be why Fox News host Eric Bolling went back to an old standby. It's all Hillary's fault. On Friday, he tried to argue that the Don Jr. meeting proves that it was actually Hillary who was colluding with the Russians by tying the Russian lawyer in the meeting to a Democratic research firm called Fusion GPS.
Fusion GPS is the group you're talking about, right?
Right.
Somehow connected through one of these people who were at the meeting, not sure which one. One of them, so an Italian, Veselnitskaya, connected to Fusion GPS, who also was connected, Fusion GPS, to the opposition research, the payment, the Russian dossier, completely correct. Christopher Steele, the British operative who put together this Russian dossier, somehow got payment from Fusion GPS. So instead of pointing the finger at Donald Trump Jr. and saying maybe he's colluding, Mo, big word, colluding with the Russians, maybe the Russians were colluding with Hillary Clinton to get information on Donald Trump.
What? Have you been near the Mexican border recently? Because you sound like you got hit in the head with a big bag of drugs. But of course, Don Jr. is not the only member of the Trump team who's been implicated in this latest bombshell. Trump's son-in-law and advisor Jared Kushner, as well as campaign chairman Paul Manafort, were both copied on the email and attended the meeting. So what's their excuse? They both claim they didn't read the email. Kushner claims that he did not scan to the bottom of the email thread forwarded by his brother-in-law, therefore completely missing the part about Russia and its government. And a source close to Manafort told Politico on Tuesday that the campaign chairman hadn't read all the way to the bottom of the email exchanges on his phone. And I might believe that, except for the fact that the subject line of this email was literally regarding Russia, Clinton, private and confidential. There's no way you didn't read an email with that subject line. That's like not reading the last line of a dirty limerick. Let's see, the guys from Nantucket? Ah, that's probably the main takeaway. Now, this latest revelation has major implications for both Manafort and Kushner, but Kushner especially is vulnerable to legal repercussions because he repeatedly failed to disclose this and other meetings with Russians on his security clearance forms. So how does Kushner, The White House aide supposedly in charge of Middle East peace for the Trump White House explained the omission. According to Yahoo News, his lawyers have said that a member of his staff had prematurely hit the send button for the form before it was completed. So he doesn't read emails to the end and sends documents before they're completed. He seems on top of it. At least he's only in charge of U.S.-China relations, U.S.-Mexico relations, criminal justice reform, opioid crisis management, the White House Office of American Innovation, and Middle East peace. How's peace in the Middle East going, Jared? I'm working on an email right now. Oh, no, I hit send. Oh, no. Please, please don't read to the end. This has been A Closer Look.
Hi, this is Fred Armisen, the music director of the HG Band. Did you know that Late Night with Seth Meyers has a podcast now? That's what this is. And it's released every Wednesday and Friday. Tell your friends who love Late Night that they should subscribe at iTunes.com/Late Night Seth. You'll find it. What I just said, you'll be able to find it. I believe in you.
Yes, this is the New York State Attorney General. Please welcome to the show, Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, Donald Trump does not like either of us, but he might dislike you more because I tell jokes about him, but you sue him. And sometimes you sue him to the point that he has to give up money, and he likes that a lot.
No, but you mocked him and humiliated him in his hair on national TV. I don't know, Seth.
It's a little of both.
It's a close call.
Now, you have sued him in the past. You sued Trump University for fraud. He swore he would never settle that. He was elected president. He did settle it. Originally, you guys were looking into Trump University because you just wanted him to take away the name university, right?
Well, we were looking at for-profit colleges generally, and there were problems with for-profit colleges ripping people off. Actually, we've sued the Federal Department of Education for trying to remove rules that would protect students from being ripped off by for-profit colleges a couple of weeks ago. And we were looking at for-profit colleges, and there was Trump University hanging out there, like, with a neon sign on it saying, fraud here.
Yeah.
And we attempted to negotiate a settlement. That failed. And so in the summer of 2013, we sued him. And that's when our relationship took a turn for the worse.
Yeah. He has mentioned you on Twitter a couple of times. Not very kindly. Here's one. Lightweight AG Eric Schneiderman is perhaps the most incompetent, least respected AG in the U.S. He's a total joke. Lightweight AG Schneiderman. He used your Twitter handle that time. That's very nice. He wanted to make sure you saw it. Yeah. Just got his ass kicked by Trump. And then it's Thursday. I like, by the way, when he tells you what day it is. It's Thursday. What brand of eyeliner is the nation's worst AG wearing today?
Yes.
Now, do you take it as a point of pride when someone like this attacks you on Twitter?
It was very unusual. I mean, we sue a lot of people for fraud. I'd never seen the sort of scorched earth approach he brought to it. He set up a website to attack me, sued me for $100 million, filed phony ethics complaints against me. The full front page of his son-in-law's newspaper, The Observer, was,
yes. Here you go. This is Jared Kushner's newspaper. And that's you right there.
That's me with the eyeliner Malcolm McDowell character in the Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Eric.
So in retrospect, I didn't realize it was 2013. I got a preview of the scorched earth he brought to the campaign last year, because before there was Lion Ted and Little Marco, there was Clockwork Eric. But this is the approach he brings to litigation and the approach he brings to politics.
Now, no matter what happened on election night, you were going to have Donald Trump in your life, because all his businesses, he has so much stuff in New York, you're still looking into his foundation. You were looking into his university. But now you're actually having to sue Donald Trump as a person who's representing the federal government. Tell me some of the things that you've had to do to defend against Donald Trump's actions already.
Oh, sure. Well, in terms of public policy, we have sued them over their refusal to keep toxic pesticides out of kids' food. We have sued them for their efforts to dismantle the cost-sharing subsidies under the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, which is still, as we sit here tonight, the law of the land.
And
I think we'll remain so. But the Trump administration won't defend any of the Obama-era policies. So I've intervened and sued, and other AGs have intervened and sued. We are taking up the cause where they won't defend any of the Obama-era policies on climate change. You mentioned the EPA at the top of the show. They got a bunch of climate change deniers in charge of the EPA. So we are now defending the Clean Power Plan, other Obama-era initiatives, and we're suing them for their failure to provide protection for students who get ripped off by still existing for-profit colleges. So we're going after them, but it's all policy. It's not about him personally. It's all on the merits, but there are a lot of merits these days. Yeah.
And you talk about, you know, one of the things you're doing is defending. You're defending policies and the legal basis of those policies. It seems like what people want of you, what a certain amount of people want of you, is that your legal investigation, your legal work will lead to some grand impeachment, that this is one of the things that people like you need to do. Is it sort of wishful thinking, and do Democrats in general need to step back from this idea that impeachment is something that's going to happen, and that impeachment is something that's going to come about by legal means?
Well, no. I think you have to separate it out. Our first job is to protect the people we represent from these horrendous public policies that pour out of Washington like a bad idea, toxic volcano. I mean, every day there's some new bad public policy that would hurt people. We're going to protect them. As to misconduct by the Trump campaign colluding with Russia or, you know, allegations of money laundering by people around the president, those are separate investigations. Those are going forward. But I do think it is important for Democrats to recognize that there is no substitute for the hard work at the end of the day of electing good people, and we have to go back and elect good people from the grassroots up in order to get this country back on track. Okay.
But let it never be said that attorney generals can't have some fun. I want, if you could real quick, explain to us, you had an Operation Wrecking Ball.
We did.
And can you tell us how you came to the title Operation Wrecking Ball, how you came to name it?
Yeah, this was an organized crime task force investigation of a gang that was dealing guns and drugs in upstate New York. And they apparently were Miley Cyrus fans, and the code word for cocaine was Miley Cyrus. So we took a Miley Cyrus song, called it Operation Wrecking Ball, and busted all of them.
There you go. Well, congratulations on that. Thank you for all your hard work. Keep it up, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, sir.
Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, everybody.
Hey, everybody, this is Henry from Late Night. I'm here with New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. So you and Seth were just talking about the lawsuit over Trump University. Trump and his businesses have been involved in literally thousands of lawsuits. Can you talk a little bit about his legal strategy, how he kind of operates when him or his companies are being sued?
Well, he has a couple of strategies. The first, as demonstrated by the sort of scorched earth campaign he ran against us when we sued Trump University, is really attack, intimidation, kind of a Roger Stone style attack strategy. And then he also is capable of being quite charming and trying a charm offensive. And when those fail, and he actually has to head to court, often he just ends up settling, as he did in the Trump University case. Once it got close to actually getting into a courtroom, he coughed up the money.
Yeah. And we were talking earlier about how now as president, those options are not on the table as much.
Right. Well, when you're litigating over issues of public policy, either you're going to get your bad idea for healthcare or your anti-environmental ideas overturned, or you're going to get them sustained. And when you've got an investigation for potential criminal conduct, money laundering or collusion with the Russians or something like that, these are not things where you can bully or charm or settle your way out of.
You and Seth were also talking about your role in terms of trying to push back on some of these Trump administration policies. We've seen since Trump was elected, state attorneys general from around the country that have been pushing back. Have you been surprised? Have you been heartened by what you're seeing with this kind of force of attorneys general pushing back in a way that maybe people didn't expect?
No, I've been very pleased. I'm very proud of the work that the coalition of attorneys general have done. Really, the first week he was in office, and at the very end of the first week, he issued his first anti-immigrant travel ban.
Right.
And that was really a galvanizing experience for a group of Democratic attorneys general. It was a Friday afternoon, and I just sat there, and I was on the phone with my colleagues that night and then all weekend. And by Sunday, we had 17 state attorneys general coming out saying, this is unconstitutional, this is discrimination based on religion, we will not stand for it, and we'll go into court and stop it. And we did. We went to courts all around the country. Beat the first travel ban. When they came with the second travel ban, we beat that one. And now we're going to be headed to the Supreme Court for the little fragment that's left. Mm-hmm. But that experience really did pull together a great group of Democratic attorneys general from all over the country. And we've been working together very closely ever since. We are together in fighting to preserve the subsidies of the Affordable Care Act. We're together in fighting against a whole array of bad ideas coming out of Scott Pruitt and the EPA. And we've sued Betsy DeVos over her effort to strip students from protections from for-profit colleges. This is a coalition that, along with lawyers for local governments and lawyers for public interest groups, really does form the heart of the legal resistance to these bad public policies.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the legal resistance specifically? We've heard a lot about the resistance. What does it mean to be part of the legal resistance as part and parcel of the larger resistance?
Well, this really did come about in his first week or two in office. It became very clear that this guy went way beyond a disagreement between Democrats and Republicans, that this administration appeared to really have no regard for the rule of law. And for lawyers and people whose job is to defend the Constitution, defend the rule of law, this really bothered people. And it's something that a lot of lawyers, even more conservative lawyers, we do not believe that anyone, including the president, is above the law. And the courts have been, when they've been striking down immigration bans or some of the other policies, we've gotten dealt with the methane rules, things like that, they have made it very clear that you have to follow the law. The EPA is bound to follow the law. The president is bound to follow the law. And I think that there has been a very strong outpouring by lawyers. I mean, if you look at the image from that first week of lawyers just showing up at Kennedy Airport, at airports all around the country, just say, is there any immigrant here I can represent? You don't usually think of New York lawyers as the most soft-hearted people on earth, but people were just showing up at immigration centers, showing up at airports just as they wanted to do the right thing, because this really does offend those of us who believe in the law and view ourselves as guardians of the law, because it ran so contrary to that part of the American spirit.
Right. I had to make sure before I was speaking with you to say attorneys general for plural. Do you correct people when they say attorney generals?
No, it doesn't bother me one way or the other. But
what percentage of people get it right? I feel like I learned attorneys general from The West Wing.
I think a lot of people have gotten it right from be with the influence of television. I think you're absolutely right.
Do you cringe when you hear it, or is it?
No. It's, if your name is Schneiderman, you've had it mispronounced so many times by the time you're an adult. That doesn't bother me.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for the work you're doing.
All right. Thank you.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.